Hey everybody, welcome to episode 6, I think, of It's Raining Mang, the podcast, the musical, the extravaganza compared to Eek the Cat. I'm Ben Pasco, and coming today on the show is a awkward discussion about racism in professional wrestling as done by someone who's part Mexican, very few parts, someone who's part Syrian, and Fitz, who is extremely white. And for the record, all this was done in good fun, and if you're expecting hard-hitting journalism about the way that wrestlers are treated, you're more likely to get a serious discussion about what a bad idea Muhammad Hassan is. And for the record, we are all extremely white, and this podcast will probably be called First World Wrestling Federation Problems or something. So I hope you enjoy the show, and don't forget to contact us on It's Raining Mang at gmail.com if you have any feedback, or hell, we're always looking for guests to talk about fun stuff. So I hope you enjoy the show. Hey! Oh, hi, everybody. I'm Tommy Wiseau.
Hello!
I'm Charlie Zoe. Joining me on the line is the Lisa and the other Lisa, because they're both looking hot tonight, and neither one of them have breast cancer. Brian Hughes and Alex Fitzgerald. Say hello, Brian and Alex.
That is the best introduction I've received in the last 5 minutes.
Hello, Brian and Alex.
Hello, Brylac. How are you today?
Brylac?
Brylac.
I'm not okay with this.
The secret world of
Brian. Sorry, hold on. Fitz and Will are too young for that one. They won't get that reference.
Joe Gagne, I hope you're listening to this. And I want to let you know that we have something very special planned for you on the channel.
Joe Gagne, calling you out, my friend.
Yeah.
Joe Gagne, we're coming for you, N-word.
Yeah, Joe Gagne, we're coming for you, Funtime Arcade on YouTube.
Boom, segue.
Nothing fun about that arcade, if you ask me. I'm from SmackDown, shut your mouth. Alright, whatever. Just watch, Gagne, just watch.
But we have joined here today, and we decided to do, naturally, what three middle-class white people tend to do, and we're going to discuss racism and how it personally affected us in the world of professional wrestling. Brian, when's the first time you realized that you were white?
What?
I was trying to give a segue. When's the first time? Well, we can't discuss racism without discussing race. And as the darkest of the three of us, being that I have slightly Mexican heritage.
Dude, I'm a quarter Syrian. I think that counts for something.
Yeah.
You would think.
It goes beyond being white. I am so pale.
I work at Brookstone, though, which is just stuff white people like the store.
I'm drinking seltzer. That's about as white as you can get.
White. That's old.
it's old then. I don't care.
Are you also eating plain white bread? And listening to the 43 Skidoo, or the 23 Skidoo? The 43 Skidoo.
Yes, that plain white bread sounds pretty good. Let me be right back and get some.
Do you have cough drops as a candy?
Oh, don't knock that.
No, nothing but Werther's Originals.
Oh, Werther's are the shit, man. Whenever I went to my grandma's house before she died, she'd have a big bowl of fucking Werther's, and then she died.
Are you watching Jimmy Stewart movies and long the day back when men were men? Back when men were men, especially with Rock Hudson.
Rock Hudson's totally straight, right? Nothing wrong with him.
But we decided that we're going to talk about racism in professional wrestling, and we really don't have any friends who aren't white. Not by choice, but by coincidence. We could have got Token, I guess, but no, we didn't think to ask him.
And the fact that his name is Token.
Our friend Token, who's a different race than us.
And for those of you who will say, who will get offended at any racial jokes we make, my best friend in the first grade was black, and we performed in the school lip sync contest doing Bad Boys and Go to Hell. And by the way, I was accidentally dressed like the Bad Boys from ISW decades before they existed. Which reminds me, want to hear how much, like, it's crazy how much more racial humor I do now, considering that when I was a kid, I was doing that lip sync contest with my friend, and we were trying to figure a song to do, and someone's like, "What devil down in Georgia?" And my reply was, "Yeah, but I want people to think that he's the devil. That would just be racist." And I was already politically correct, and now I listen to Wu-Tang Clan. Not really.
Nothing to fuck with.
ODB. ODB. Stupid karaoke songbook didn't have Got Your Money when I was drunk on Thursday, and so we responded by all making fun of everyone and heckling them. Like, really heckling them. There's a kid with a V-neck shirt, so we all pulled our shirts down pretty much to where our nipples were, and we're just drinking, staring at the kid, making fun of him while he sang. Because we're
fucking V-neck shirt is the worst thing to happen to clothing right now.
V-neck shirt stands for vagina.
No, it doesn't, because no one will fuck you if you wear one of those.
I have to comment, the V-neck shirt, a good friend of mine tonight was wearing one, and I feel awkward now.
The V-neck is up. The Diamond Dallas Page symbol upside down equals V-neck shirt. Can suck a dick. But speaking of sucking a dick, Brickhouse Brown.
Yes.
Blackest man in history. Racism, professional wrestling. Alex Fitzgerald. What do you think of pro wrestling racism? What do you think of?
I think of guys like Kamala. Like,
yeah. Saba Simba is the first
Saba Simba, Kamala. Guys like that. Akeem to an extent. They're slick in the Jive Still Bro video eating a bucket of fucking chicken. Stuff like that.
It's one of those things where every so often you think, you're like, there's no fucking way this stuff could ever make it today. And then every so often you see something, you're like, all right, that's kind of funny. And you're like, how the hell did that slide through? But it does.
Well, to me, when I think of racism professional wrestling, I think of the crown prince of racism, and that is the greatest man that ever lived, Dr. D. David Schultz. I think of David Schultz telling Tony Atlas that back where he's from, he should be picking cotton, and that when it was done properly, he would whip him like he did his ancestors.
Oh.
To the point where Roddy Piper's sitting there like, I think this is getting a little crazy, David Schultz.
And calm down. And Piper, I remember Piper at one point when he was feuding with Mr. T going, you wear more chains than your ancestors.
Or just Piper. Actually, I think the biggest image is Piper with the half black face.
That too.
Like that is one of the just easily most identifiable. I mean, that was WrestleMania 2, right?
WrestleMania 6.
Oh, 6. God, what did I see?
It's 2. Bad News Brown, my friend.
Yeah, I know it was Bad News Brown. I don't know why I thought 2. Who was he was in the Battle Royale too.
Yeah, to an extent, Bad News Brown was sort of racist because everyone from Harlem I know has a fucking pet sewer rat, so.
I didn't like Bad News Brown. I tried to watch a match of his the other day. The other day, I mean, 3 weeks ago.
Not trans whatsoever.
I didn't like it. Like, he was good at judo, and he was good at, you know, hating Bret Hart. But it's probably a generational thing, but I was just like, oh, Bad News Brown's got kind of he's got bad finesse ground, because he has this gut.
Well, here's the thing, like, and I didn't realize, like, that was totally the end of his career was the WWF stuff. So I'm, I don't really care enough to look and find any of his other stuff. So I'm just like, I'm sure he was better. I mean, there's a reason he would have been there, but I don't know.
And coming in over our instant feedback, Vladimir Kozlov was also good at Sambo. Was a stereotype, was kind of racist, but then he learned to dance. And much like Slick and much like Kamala, that's when we fell in love with him.
Yeah.
Well, see, because that's what unites, dance unites the world, apparently.
Oh, yes. The sad part is he didn't start bowling, which would have.
That's true. Kamala going bowling is just one of the most amazing.
That's great.
Ever. The day that I realized that Saba Simba was, like, I was like, wait a minute, no.
Like, you realize they just
sound Tony fucking Atlas. What the hell?
Yeah, even Piper on commentary is talking about Tony Atlas. What's he doing here?
Was Tony Atlas wearing shoes?
No, of course not.
Not his Saba Simba, I'm sure.
you got cellophane, I want to jerk off in these shoes, but I don't want to clean it up.
Cellophane. Yeah, fucking Saba Simba was like, I feel like that was the most racist thing that I've seen.
There had to have been more racist things. Like,
I can think of immediately.
Japan was making Bob Sat eat bananas. That's worse.
Yeah. Who was doing that?
Every black guy in Japan, like, ends up eating bananas.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, I wasn't watching stuff, I wasn't tape trading when I was, like, 7.
Only New Japan is readily available to 7-year-olds in America in 1999.
Exactly.
Holy.
Yeah, back when I was your age, we didn't have the YouTube.
Well, you know what's crazy was that around here, like, my friend's uncle hosted a Pro Reisu TV show on the Cable Access channel.
Really?
So he'd overdub matches and then play them on Cable Access with American commentary.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that was pretty insane for a while. Like, that's how I first saw Ebison, was through that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so, like, there are matches, like, I didn't, like, there's a match that Steve Corino has against some Japanese guy that's still one of my favorite matches. I've never seen again because I don't know who it was against. But, but it was awesome. It was called Token Retsuden. I was a huge fan, and, like, now it depressed me because it doesn't do it anymore. But for a while there, like, I used to see Kenta back in, like, 07. It was fucking awesome.
See, there's something interesting about, and you bring up Japan. Like, so many times I've seen it in Japan, the gimmick will be that someone is a different, is playing up a stereotype of a different nationality. Like, you'll have the Italian Four Horsemen, you'll have, like...
Florida Brothers.
I think the Italian Four Horsemen were also, like, didn't they have, like, a Mexican gimmick, too, at one point?
I know, like, Amigo Suzuki had one.
Yeah, like, these guys have had, like, wasn't he Pepe Mitsunoku for a while?
Yes, he was.
It seems like it's so complex. It's like, that your gimmick is that you're being a stereotype of a different nationality, a different ethnicity. It's like, wow, okay. So, like, it almost makes, like, some of the shit in the U.S. kind of tame. It's like, no, they're just, oh, no, they're just, you might as well just say, oh, they're just a bunch of greasy Dagos, those Italian Four Horsemen. It's like, whoa, okay, that's what they're doing.
Italian Four Horse Headsmen, so to speak.
I don't even know what that means.
I deserve to bomb with that. That wasn't good. That was Rich Voss levels. I apologize.
Hey, first of all, and there's no second of all.
Yeah, there is no second of all.
Yeah, I want to deliver you a Sicilian message right now.
That sounds sexual, though, when you say it like that.
It does, yeah.
Sicilian.
I like how you just repeated what he said, but with a breathy voice, and that somehow made it. That somehow was meant to make it sexual. It just sounds like you have a hard time breathing.
All I know is right now this episode sleeps with the fishes, and that's...
Anyway, something else I like as far as... Sure, is that better? Was JBL.
Something else I like about racism.
Yeah.
Yeah, racism's just super.
You know what else I like about racism? All the free college money.
But something hilarious that came out of it, though, was the JBL Border Patrol shit.
JBL kicking out Rudy Boy Gonzalez.
Yes.
That was really
funny. Having a Mexican man clean his car off and having.
I feel like this is gonna sound ignorant, but I feel like, you know, like, black wrestlers, they've kind of gotten the less worse of it lately, and Mexicans have slowly but surely become...
Are you kidding me? Like, I love how, like, when they unmask Junico, they're like, alright, you're now our standard, like, our thug Mexican.
Now that Conan's hooked up to a fucking dialysis machine, go out there.
It's like he's now dressed up like Conan. At one point, he dressed up like Homicide. At one point, I was like, all right, whatever. Seriously, the WWE Mexican guys to the WWE either wear colorful masks or are thugs.
Yeah, this is true.
Like, there's no, you're either Los Boricuas
or Sin Cara.
Yeah, or your Sin Cara.
It's like instead of arrive, raise hell, leave. It's arrive, become Los Boricuas. After arrive unmasked, become Los Boricuas.
Like, I'm waiting for them to start having Junico feud with Hornswoggle because they're going to forget that he's not Chavo.
Oh, yeah.
At this point.
Great. All the fucking Cognito, just saying.
Oh, God, yeah. Wow. And that's even worse. Like, you remember, oh, that's Incognito. Oh,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. Every time I see him, it's just, fuck, motherfucking, pisses me off.
Whenever he sees Incognito, Fitz speaks less English than Incognito does.
Yeah. It pisses me off that much.
I always thought Incognito would, not to get all Patrick Swayze about this, I thought Incognito would be bigger. I thought he was a bigger guy, but clearly I'm wrong. Sin Cara is a dick, and that's a joke I made because of his t-shirt, which I wish I had bought. You guys have seen it, right?
Oh, yeah. I've
seen the penis t-shirt of Sin Cara. I don't know why, after seeing that, you want it, but...
I seen this the shirt, but yeah, poor Mexicans, they get screwed over. They're not white people. Like, has any Mexican wrestler not been called, like, a border jumper? Like,
this is a good point.
Like, Eddie Guerrero was born in Texas. They were making jokes about it, and he's like, yes, I'm America, bro.
Yeah, JBL out there with a cowboy hat on, making his grandmother have a heart attack.
WWF thought Chavo Guerrero could wrestle Sin Cara just because he was like Mexican descent, and he goes,
they figured there'd be no issue with translation.
Yeah, there'd be no translation issue.
You two are the same brownness. Go out there. Speaking of brownness, dark Italian man, let's turn him into a Muslim guy.
Oh, shit. And then, the whole thing.
That whole event.
Yeah, that happening. Fucking Muhammad.
I forget about all that.
That rational series of decisions that was the Muhammad Hassan character.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a problem.
It's doomed to fail when you establish him as a heel. Yeah, where the whole promo is brilliant until you realize now they can't do anything with it.
You know what the best part was? Like, the best part was like, we're going to make let the fans decide if he's a babyface or a heel. And he comes out and goes, I'm a Muslim. Fuck America. Like, everyone's going to go like, woo, yeah, we hate this place we're from. You go, Mark Capani, that un-Italian name. His name might as well, his last name might as well have been Meatball Paranera. Like, should have Primo Carne the Fourth. That's how fucking Italian he was. Are you kidding me? Why are we on the 1930s Hollywood system of casting people as other colors? Fucking stupid.
Now I'm really hungry. I kind of want a meatball paranera sandwich.
Yeah, the paranera.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with paraphernalia. Meatball paraphernalia.
Oh.
That's a meatball inside a gun. I don't know.
Yeah.
A meatball gun. Yeah. Well, Muhammad Hassan may be the worst thing they've done, though.
Muhammad Hassan is really up there.
It really is.
I don't know why The Undertaker wasn't sent to take care of Osama bin Laden, because clearly you mess with The Undertaker and then you're dead.
They killed him.
Well, maybe that's why he wasn't around.
They literally killed him.
Leading SEAL Team 6 or whatever.
I would have expected Muhammad Hassan to jump over the top rope outside the ring and then die, and it would have been a real suicide bomber dive, but that's just me. Just card him away. He'll be back. He'll be back one day in some random cameo. I'd be like, oh, look how funny this is. I'd be like, oh, well.
Or was he like, no, it really wasn't.
Like, well, forget how. I loved Muhammad Hassan. I thought he was awesome, but, you know.
All right. I mean, he wasn't that great.
Once you get beat up by Hulk Hogan, like, nowadays, that's just the kiss of death. Like, yeah. It's like, oh, you got beat up by Hulk Hogan. Like, Randy Orton's the only person to survive that, and he had a match.
Yeah.
It was at Mania, too, I think. Hassan was beating up Eugene, and Hogan comes out, and, yeah.
You know what the best part was? As I remember watching the Hogan Knows Best, because that's when that show was still kind of interesting. Brooke Hogan was just like, they're like, we want you to come out and hit the guy. And Hogan's like, this is a big deal, blah, blah, blah. And Hogan's acting like he's doing anything but hitting three punches and doing the big boot. Hurt yourself doing that. Fucking retire from breathing. Because you should be in a ring.
Didn't even do the leg drop. Just fucking threw Daivari out of the ring. Fucking,
And Brooke Hogan's just like, I'm so scared about my dad. I'm like, you should be really scared that you have a career, because it's going to be gone very shortly. You big-chinned idiot. I'm sorry. If you're listening to this, I just recorded the podcast with Tom. This is probably like a week later. And Tom got me all fired up to bury people. So listen to that show from a week ago. Yeah. Or a day ago. Who knows? A day ago. That was an accident. There you go. Yes. Only Sean Connery can say day ago.
Yeah.
Untouchable. Sir,
look at your dirty mustache.
Well, he can say it. Well, he can say that and sound cool.
It just
complimenting you.
I feel like there's been. I feel like if you couldn't pronounce L's and you went to an Italian club that liked to have paint parties, it'd be awkward. Deglo. Never mind. That was good. You guys. It's one of you's too young and one of you's too old.
Yep.
And I'm pretty much.
I'm the
you're in the middle of going, what do you want from me? I know.
I'm the mama bear of this shit, alright? I'm the mama bear of this podcast. I'm just right. Speaking of just right, Kerwin White. Oh my god!
Oh shit.
Why wasn't there more outrage about that?
Yeah.
Because I was watching wrestling.
Yes, this is a good point, except guys like me that went over their fucking head. Kids like me, fucking going over their head. I don't know what Chavo's doing right now.
That's not Chavo, that's just some white guy.
You look like him.
Like, Dave Chappelle's white characters were, like, more ethnic than Chavo Guerrero's Kerwin White. And the debut of Dolph Ziggler, how he has a career after the things he went through is insane.
It's
Squad Caddy, it's amazing.
Like, if everybody who had a shitty gimmick had the survivability, adaptability of Dolph Ziggler, then wrestling would be far better off.
Yeah, seriously. He survived that and the cheerleader thing, which was awesome, still.
Because the spirits, and he even, like, when he first showed up, he had a stupid name, and his gimmick was he handshook people. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, so I thought it was hilarious, but yeah, it was like, you can't do anything with that.
He was like a slow guy on a bus. He just shook your hand and told you his name, and you got
awkward. I'm Dolph Ziggler.
Well, I always thought that was a complete, like, I don't know, maybe I'm naive and it's like, of course this is what it was. I always thought it was kind of like a hey, look, we're being inside here. You know, that's what you do when you show up for the first time.
I remember the original idea was that he was supposed to be a porn star.
Oh, yeah, he was supposed to be the Boogie Nights.
Well, with that name, of course, yeah.
Dodge that bullet. Now I want Dolph Ziggler on a bus. There's this kid on the bus the other day called Kane, and his mom's going, Kane, get over here, Kane. In my head, they're like, God, Kane's risen. He's going crazy.
He's getting off at this stop. By God.
Hellfire and Brimstone, Kane is falling asleep in his mama's lap. Good God Almighty, he's taking a nap.
Shotgun on her mama, did it.
I mean, I'm doing a nap on a 6 foot tall woman. I want to do JR references where how can you blank on a blank foot blank everywhere.
How do you shit on a 5 foot dick?
How do you fall off a 20 foot stilts?
Yeah, that's Giant Gonzalez.
Giant Gonzalez, not racist.
Yeah, he's maybe the only passable. Yeah, the Argentinian guy. Let's just throw him in a fucking.
I guess Argentinian guys are hairy, but.
Yeah, that's about all they.
We all remember the.
He wasn't like booked as to be like a guy from Argentina. He was just like. He was just booked as like a giant Neanderthal.
fucking Bigfoot.
Like, the fact that he was from Argentina had nothing to do with the whole Giant Gonzalez gimmick. But, like, okay, one of the easiest things was, like, anyone who was Asian, even vaguely Asian, had like, the music that just sounded like...
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, had something where you basically just play the black keys of a piano.
To Jerry...
Like, and their gimmick didn't have to have anything else, but the music enough was just like, wow, okay.
Oh, the best part is, in the 90s, they would reuse the Orient Express theme for every fucking... Asian guy they brought
in. Asian dude.
Bull Nakano, I think.
And then one man stood up, and he shattered all these stereotypes, and that man's name was Kenzo Suzuki.
Yeah.
Most progressive wrestler in the history of our sport, Kenzo Suzuki.
And he tagged
I know Will is losing his shit right now.
Yeah, sure. And on top of it, he was tag champ for René Dupree, because all people from Montreal get hailed from being from legit France and come out with a poodle.
They have a move called the French tickler.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful for spacious skies forever.
I recently watched Kenzo Suzuki's debut. Holy shit.
This is coming over these instant feedback, i.e. Will's just IMing it to us. Kenzo Suzuki killed Bin Laden. I would believe that.
Oh, yeah.
I would believe that was...
That finisher. Kenzo Suzuki's finisher was fucking dirty, though.
What was his finisher?
It was the claw on the face STO.
Oh, that's right.
It looked like it looked awesome.
All right.
Because it looked like it would kill you. Yeah. Like it killed Osama.
He's squeezing your face and then he's throwing you on the back of your head.
Like it killed his career. Kenzo Suzuki should have turned face.
Yeah. At one point he did shave and had like America shit.
Right now, so far we've determined that SEAL Team 6 is made up of The Undertaker, Kenzo Suzuki, and Hiroko.
Hiroko.
This is awesome. We're going to fill out SEAL Team 6 before the end
of the night. And I would make Hiroko's face paint so fucking
Honestly, and you know what? I don't mean to be like, John Cena used to be awesome, but... The best rap line he ever had was, I'll leave Hiroko with the white face. And I was like, this was on TV. And now they're not allowed to say ass. They can't say ass, which is ass itself. So racism in wrestling. Indie wrestling. Is there really a lot of racism in terms of the characters?
You know what? I was deeply offended by Amish Roadkill, and I'll tell you why.
Well, the good thing is, if it was on TV, then no Amish people were going to know about it.
Exactly.
It was the safest possible
shit like that.
Group of people to make fun of.
It's why Darkness Crabtree is so made fun of. Old people don't old TVs. They listen to the radio.
They sit around waiting to die.
They just fucking rot.
There was an Onion article that I read that just made me laugh. I want to make sure I get it right. Here we go. The article was, New Old People Magazine Gives Old People Something to Read While Waiting to Die.
That's
crazy. And I was like, oh my god, it's from like 96, oh my god. On the Indies, god, not really.
Yeah, you don't really see it, except...
Well, because everyone creates their own characters for the most part. You get race scenarios.
You know, I thought that the Osirian portal...
offensive to Egyptians.
Portrayed Egyptians in a negative light, because they're apparently all snake people or pharaohs.
Or black pharaohs who dance. Yes, exactly.
Naturally. And that stereotype goes back to the 1800s.
I mean, yeah.
Back when Andrew Johnson...
There are hieroglyphics of those fucking scenes happening.
Back when Andrew Johnson, while explaining King Tut's tomb, said, man, this guy could dance. And he was black. Who would have figured? Don't impeach me, please.
There's so many things historically wrong with that statement.
That was.
Did I say Andrew Johnson? I said Andrew Johnson, right?
Yeah. If you said Howard Carter, it would have worked.
I was distracted by the very strange accent you put on for that.
You kidding me? He could dance? Like, look at this cobra. This cobra can bust a move. He can do the worm.
And that's why it offended me, because people aren't cobras.
Yeah, people aren't cobras. The animal stereotypes. George the Animal Steel.
Berserker. How many fucking Vikings do you think got offended by that one?
I don't know. They probably didn't get offended. They just probably got angry and killed and raped things.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine, and he doesn't really hang out with us anymore. So I hung out yesterday, and I was just talking about like how we don't hang up. He goes, I decided to walk alone like I'm Batista.
Oh.
And so then we just went going.
I guess I would throw a basketball at his head.
And I was talking about walking alone in pits. I was like, you don't need to walk alone in the pit of danger. But this got me to thinking, what is a pit of danger? Is it like Discovery Zone, but scary?
It's like the Pit of Despair from Legends of the Hidden Temple. There are temple guards on occasion.
You'd go to hell, Kurt Fogg. Who'd you ever beat? Not a temple guard, that's for sure.
He certainly didn't beat Olmec.
Mike O'Malley's on Glee, what are you doing?
Yeah, do you have a career anymore? No.
Glee. Emmy nomination. You have it.
Whatever happened to Mo? Fucking,
She does stand up, or she was doing stand up.
She does stand up. We determined this. We've had this discussion before.
Really?
Yeah, this is like.
Because I was of the belief that I thought she was actually attractive, and I'm like, no, actually, she wasn't.
It was the accent. She was a lady. Like. She was a lady when we were children, so therefore she was like an authority figure, and that was like a little...
Exactly.
That was a little hot.
And she was wearing a referee shirt, which made more of an authority figure.
Yeah. Meant that every time that you wanted...
Or she just worked at Foot Locker. Whenever
she turned around, you wanted to just choke someone until she turned back and acted like you didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how you do a threesome with Mo. Every time she's not looking, you just start trying to kill the other person. That's how you do it, right? That's doing it right, right?
Yes, I think so.
All right, yeah.
All I know is I can go buy it... I gotta go buy a referee shirt. I got some ideas for next weekend when I'm out.
So pro-res racism. The worst offenders we have determined.
What, support pro-racism? Is that what we're doing now?
Support pro-racism. Support racism in...
Put a hashtag on that, motherfucker.
I almost fucking spit orange juice everywhere.
Support pro-racism. All right.
That's the title of this. Hashtag support pro racism.
So, we talk about the most stereotyped group of wrestlers. Fucking Samoans.
Holy
shit. We didn't think of that yet.
The only Samoan who wasn't racist, who wasn't a stereotype. What?
Fucking Samoa Joe, yeah.
Samoa Joe.
He wasn't.
Which, has anyone established if he got the name from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
I have no idea.
Well, because
I was saying 3-minute warning were not stereotypical, because after a while, there were two types of Samoan stereotypes. The savage, like...
Booga, 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 booga.
Yeah,
I told the witch doctor Samoans.
Exactly. Or the thugged out street clothes, dangerous moves, always doing things out of the Samoan.
So it'd be ooga booga booga motherfucker.
So eventually it became like it wasn't even like they were crushing the stereotype. Like, no, you're just embracing the other Samoan stereotype we've seen.
And no matter what, they always had hard heads.
Oh yeah.
Not because they were alleged to be full of knowledge.
Oh,
poor Samoan. Well, not poor Samoan. Concerned that if I saw a Samoan in the street, first I'd be wondering, why are you here? Secondly, I'd be running. Why aren't my feet running?
Third, I'd be like, why are you barefoot? We're in society where you wear clothes.
They're wondering, hey, aren't you related to Afa?
Yeah.
Because Samoa Joe.
That's the other thing. We just assume that they're all related.
Oh yeah.
Like, all black people know each other. Just like, well, we assume all Samoans know each other. Wrestling hasn't taught us any differently.
No, not just that they know each other, but they're all related to Afa.
They're all brothers.
Because, like, I was going to say, I bet they're, like, whoever, because of that fucking huge family where so many of them are wrestlers, I bet, like, every other Samoan wrestler now is like, son of a bitch, now everyone thinks I'm fucking related to fucking Afa and Sika and... God damn it.
You know what's funny is that The Rock's best man, I believe, was Meng, which I like to think The Rock had it there just so no one could
speak up. The best Meng.
The best Meng. Just, I like to think The Rock was just like, hey, Meng, can you be my best man in case anyone tries to speak up? You know what to do.
That makes for a hell of a speech
in
the reception.
So no one could cash in their hand job in the bank, the money in the sperm.
Money in the sperm bank.
Yeah. Fuck it, we're talking about it. Brian, explain money in the sperm bank.
No.
The idea of money in the sperm bank is that if someone was getting married, and all of a sudden the priest asks, does anyone have anything to say, whatever he says, does anyone watch Passions on NBC? And then the guy comes down and Edge's theme starts playing and they come out.
The key is that he's bringing another priest.
Comes out with another priest and catches him money in the sperm bank.
Holding a briefcase and carrying and bringing another priest down and pointing at the altar.
Yeah.
Like it's gonna be exactly like Edge did.
And then the other scenario we came up with is New Jack crashing weddings.
Oh, that's shopping cart full of wedding gifts. That's all I'm gonna say.
We're discussing inappropriate times to play professional wrestling themes, and those were our two favorites.
Well, it's because, and anyone who's listening, if you haven't heard of it, there's a thing called Improv Everywhere. They're based out of New York, and they do all these kind of silly things. Like the video of like a bunch of people freezing in Grand Central Station is them. So I guess the guy who created it got married and wanted to get like his wedding party in on like a little prank for the guests. And so they had like the pro wrestler like show up. They had this one dude in like a giant like mullet wig and sunglasses come out to Stone Cold's music to interrupt the wedding, and they did this whole like thing where they're like he's trying to beat up the groomsman and then the groom just hits him with a chair and then sends him off. It's so funny. If you just search Improv Everywhere wrestling wedding or something like that, you can find it. It's really fucking funny.
There were no black wrestlers there, and that was racist.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Oh yeah, was the first Samoan that did not get the ooga booga 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 gimmick got a fucking stereotypical Japanese sumo wrestler.
Yokozuna. Which is even worse, I feel.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're
shit,
fat, I mean, and you're kind of Polynesian.
Well, it's like Yoshi Kwan was Yoshi Kwan was a white guy.
Oh, yeah.
Who, by the way, I found out he didn't actually touch a kid. He was just rumored to have showed a girl his penis, but it was...
Yeah, Hakushi was a Dutchman.
Yeah. He was actually Jinsei Jones from Oslo, Norway.
Fucking wooden clog wearing shit.
I was trying to see if I could get away with that one, yeah. Never bothered you that he wore wooden clogs to the ring?
All those tattoos, yeah, they were just birthmarks.
Yeah.
By the way, when I saw that those weren't permanently tattooed on his face, my mind was blown.
Yeah.
I was like, that must have taken forever!
I know, I had to consult you at King of Trios this past year.
Yeah.
Well, that's not Hakushi. Hakushi's dead to me.
That's true. Well, Hakushi scared the hell out of you anyway, so that's not even, it doesn't even matter.
Dude,
you imagine to say.
You're gonna tell me that a Japanese man covered in tattoos isn't scary? They don't even have that in Japan. That's how scary it is. They're not allowed. That's a Yakuza joke. That's who Tajiri's scared of.
Yeah, as he should be.
Hey, how about we name your stable the Yakuza?
Nope.
That's probably a bad idea.
Nope. Why don't we name your company fucking stupid?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just, like... That's such an awful idea.
Not a good...
You have, like, bad stables back to Muhammad Hassan. The timing of the London bombings with fucking Undertaker getting piano wire to the neck.
Yeah, we can't prove that the London bombings weren't because WWE was doing that.
Yeah.
But we can widely speculate.
Yes, I'm not saying, but I'm just saying.
We can basely speculate. And why won't they let us in Stamford Tower?
Why won't they let us see the why won't they let us see the original Max Moon gear?
Because the Max Moon landing never happened. That's why. Didn't you find it weird that the flag Max Moon came out had was waving in the wind?
It wasn't a real jetpack at all.
I was asked to investigate the Nexus conspiracy.
Who was driving that limousine that took Bret Hart out?
Oh my god!
And what happened to the jumping bomb angels? Did they just happen to fade away, or were they murdered?
And I think that Vince McMahon's limo was painted with super thermite.
Oh, damn it.
Well, thermite's already been done.
All I know is that Paul Heyman caused 911.
Oh shit, he did, didn't he? He hooked up to a cell phone and it went off and a bunch of referees.
The dude showed up and chokeslammed the fuck out of everyone.
Somebody needs a Photoshop.
Did I ever tell you guys about my buddy's Halloween costume the when he went as the war in Iraq?
Oh no, go ahead.
We went to Salem for Halloween. And what I did was he wore American flag bandana, American flag t-shirt, American flag shorts, all my clothes. And then we made this cardboard diorama of all these green army men beating up, like, destroying all these tan army men. And it was a super pro-America thing. I don't know if people got it. And there was, like, one with just scattered body parts ever, and then two dudes high-fiving. And, and people got so mad because it was so, like, pro-America. It was, like, all these, like, skinny kids with, like, not real beards got mad at him because it was so pro-America. Like, this dude came running up to us in the train station and said, word for word, "I really like your multimedia display with the world in Iraq." My buddy just, like shot him the thumbs up and kept walking. And, and people, at one point, just ditched
him. Because Halloween is the most appropriate time to take someone's costume serious. Take what someone's wearing
serious. Oh, yeah, totally.
We were in Bridgewater, so we had to take the train into Boston, and the train from Boston into fucking, we take train in Boston, take the subway to the other part of Boston, and take that train out, all in our costumes. So we went through the city with that, and then he dropped it off in Salem, and I just saw these like four bros looking at it, getting so fucking pissed. It's like, dude, whose is this? Like, I got some things to talk to him about related to the culture of what he's saying. Like,
but please,
dude, I was dressed as Occupy. Me and my friends were dressed as Occupy Sesame Street for Halloween. It was a joke because it was something that someone made online and it was hilarious, and we decided to do it. Not serious at all. In fact, my favorite was the guy who was Elmo had a sign that said George Bush doesn't care about Muppets, and I thought that was absolutely hilarious, especially since he was black. And people got so serious about it. Like, people actually tried to talk to us about, they thought that we were serious. And we're like, no, this is a fucking joke.
Who the fuck thought you were serious?
Too many people.
The only good serious costume was my costume, the pro wrestling businessman known as Serious Business. Which was just me in a cutoff suit with face paint, which is still a really good idea. The original idea was a businessman cane, and I wanted to just get a cane mask but cut off one sleeve.
That'd be funny. What he could have done is he could have cut the sleeves off and put some tassels and face paint on, mullet wig, ultimate lawyer.
Ultimate lawyer. I wanted to do ultimate
lawyer, yeah.
I'd do ultimate frisbee warrior one year. I'll just wear sandals and tassels and then a sleeveless polo. No, not even a polo. What's the hat that doesn't have like a middle?
A visor?
A visor. And it's always a poor advice to wear a visor.
Yeah. Hey, I want my face to be protected. I want the top of my head to be fucking burned to a crisp. That's a great idea.
You can't.
My hair needs to breathe.
You can't wear it without looking like a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. I used to like try to pull it off back in the day, and I was just like, I just look stupid. Like,
I can imagine playing beach volleyball or golf. Stop it.
Yeah, unless you're like forced to when you're like working at a casino and.
Oh yeah, unless you're an accountant.
Yeah, or an old 30s accountant.
A fucking 1960s accountant. I was just sitting there waiting, reading the afternoon paper, smoking, waiting for the cigarette lease device. We can harass her.
It really hasn't been bad Jewish stereotypes in wrestling.
Although Barry Horowitz was the
That was the worst. Terror. Yeah, that was.
Was the, when they finally gave him music, and it was just Hava Nagila. I'm like, yeah, you guys.
But you unoriginal talkbag.
When they gave him a push, they gave him a push to Israel, basically.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
did he always? I know did. For a while, he had the Star of David on his.
Oh yeah.
Did he always have that?
Nope.
Or only when they started giving him the music.
They started wearing glasses and he started wearing like yarmulkes. Like yeah, and that's actually
everyone's taxes.
I lied. Yeah, he got super. Okay, that was pretty insane.
Yeah, and I can already tell you, Scotty Goldman probably would have went the same route. Hate to say it.
We would have done it with style. I was gonna say the minute that Colt would have known that though.
Yeah.
He would have started like once he realized he goes, I'm not getting the entrance, I'm just in the ring. Alright, pat myself on the back.
Oh god.
I know what's happening.
Alright, I see what this is.
I've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
Alright, so racism in pro wrestling, we've kind of concluded, is
I don't.
Insane.
We're talking about the indies, though. I don't feel like I'm trying to think of anywhere on the indies because because you don't see the because the stereotypical Asian character in like pro wrestling is so overdone that they don't do it on the indies.
The only one that's really done is Arabs. It's all done by people that aren't Arabic, for the most part.
Right.
So, like, you know, it's not. It's on the indies.
Well, I don't know. Are there stereotypical like black characters? I mean, on the indies, really?
Well, whoever it is, they create it, so we can't be right. We can't say they're stereotypical.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm not gonna tell Homicide that what he's doing is offensive because he'll stab me.
It's for the exact reason that they create this character themselves. It's not like they're being told. You're gonna be.
You're gonna stab people, Homicide. That's what you're gonna do. You're gonna stab people to death.
Yeah.
I like Homicide.
Oh, no. Guys, I know it doesn't really pertain to this subject, but I found out a Chris Benoit movie is being made.
I saw that all over.
Oh, shit.
Listen to the show from before the show for all me and Tom's Chris Benoit related movies.
The show before the show?
This is the show before the show. Yes. It happened before. This show, me and Tom recorded it, not knowing what it was, and then we talked about COD and Tom buried people. That was the show before the show.
Yeah, Tom was brutal on his Twitter.
I want to just fade out to that, by the way, to me just singing the show before the show.
If you must.
All right, but I know what's ending the show tonight, but on...
Have fun editing that, fucker.
Yeah.
I was gonna put the Lamb Chop song, but either Dick, fucking Jannetty and Janity, fuck, damn it, okay, we're ending the show. All right, Fitz and Brian, your final thoughts not at the exact same time.
Yeah.
On racism and pro wrestling.
Just, this is what happens when we leave a fucking Mexican to run the podcast. There we go, racism and pro wrestling.
In 140 characters and left, or less. Racism and pro wrestling, Alex Fitzgerald.
I'm not a big fan of it. It doesn't really. I mean, if you want to be unoriginal and look like a total fucking tool, then go ahead, McMahon one I forgot to bring up was Harlem Heat.
Like five characters.
What?
You were way over 140 characters.
Hey.
I was so ready to go, I'm for it, and then just leave it at that. But I'm like, I can't do that.
Oh shit! But yeah, I forgot to mention Harlem Heat.
Oh god!
Coming out the fucking chains. But yeah, it's not good. Don't fucking do it. Be original.
Brian Hughes, racism pro wrestling. You already ruined your joke.
I did. I ruined my own joke. That's okay.
Did you ruin your own joke there?
Yeah, I know. Now see, and because of Drew McIntyre, now we think all Scottish people just ruin things.
Yeah.
The stuff we see in pro wrestling kind of just mimics the real world. what exists in the real world and kind of like it makes a caricature of it. So, you know, racism exists. Gonna find its way in wrestling sooner or later somehow. It's stupid, but you know, I feel like you can touch on it without making it completely awful and offensive, though. Like, I'm not saying you shouldn't talk about anything racial in wrestling because it has its place, but
why does show get so serious at the end of every fucking episode?
Because you asked me the goddamn question.
I figured it's gonna be a joke, being like, just don't do it about white people.
All right, you say it, you fucking twist cone. There. You want it? Yeah, there you go. Fuck yourself.
I'm going to bleep that and make it sound worse than what you actually said.
Okay. Oh, you're profiling best. Now. You're profiling.
Yeah.
And on that note, my thoughts on racism are, I'm for it. Damn it, Brian. All right, thank you for listening to the show. And this is a bunch of people this is one person saying for a bunch of people. Good night. Good night. Eat a dick, all of you.
This is the song that doesn't end. Yes, it goes on and on, my friend. Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was. And they'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song that doesn't end.
Oh, no.
Yes, it goes on and on, my friend.
Enough, guys.
Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song that does it.
How do I turn you off?
Yes, it goes on and on, my friend.
Okay.
Some people
I get the joke. I can't believe you guys.
This is the song that does it.
goes on. That's it. And on, that's it. Friend. What are you doing?
Some people started singing it, not
what
knowing
is this?
What it was.
Hey! No, this is the last time, right? This is it. Okay, if you guys are going to keep that up, I want you to go far, far away. Go. No. Keep on going. Woo, woo.
This is the song that...
Charlie, horse! No, stop. Charlie, stop. I want you to go away. And don't slam the...
door.